Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. And I think I want to start off today jumping right into the mix. I have a couple of things I would like to define, because when we have a conversation, we have to define words, because remember, words mean things. So the first word I want to define is traitor. We throw this word around a lot, especially now, in light of the actions of, or apparent actions, of General Milley. We throw the word around traitor. Oh, it's traitor, it's treason. Right? What exactly does that mean? So if we look at the definition of traitor, and this is from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, great place, I like to go there a lot. Definition of traitor: one who betrays another's trust or is false to an obligation or duty. Or number two, one who commits treason. All right, so now we also want to look at and say, what is the definition of treason? We hear this a lot. Treason, treason, it's treason. What is the definition of treason in the United States? Whoever, owing allegiance to the United States, levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason and shall suffer death, or shall be imposed not less than 5 years and fined under this title, but no less than 10,000. All right, so it looks like, and I'm going to continue looking things up because it's important that we understand the details of what we're talking about to fill out the context of our conversation. So under USC 18, Chapter 115, Treason, Sedition, and Subversive. Let's look and see. This is from uscode.house.gov. Okay, so let's see. Treason. Whoever, owing allegiance to the United States, levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason and shall suffer death or shall be imprisoned not less than 5 years. Right? So it's exactly what I just read. So now let's look in the context of what is reported that General Milley did. Okay, now we understand treason and traitor. So the argument is being made that General Milley thought Trump was unhinged, and at the last minute before he walked out the door, because he is so unhinged, he may launch a nuclear attack on the Chinese. And therefore, General Milley was not going to allow that. He was going to interfere with that in some way. Now, there are mechanisms. If you feel that the president is not fit to handle the duties of that office, you would reach out to the vice president, and you would have them convene a group of the cabinet and determine if the 25th Amendment was appropriate, that the president is not physically or mentally capable of handling the job, and if they think he's not, then they would remove him from office. Nowhere in our Constitution does it say that a military officer will supplant their judgment for that of the President of the United States. Do you realize if this is true, if it turns out that this is true, and we let this stand, this, I'm saying, with all the conversation about the death of the Constitution and how our friends on the left want to get rid of the Constitution and change the Constitution, if this act, if it happened, is allowed to stand, then our Constitution is already null and void. If we can surpass, if we can walk past this incident of a military leader going behind the back of the President of the United States, I don't care if it is 11:59 and 58 seconds before that president leaves office. And I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't care what president it was. If somebody did this to Obama, if somebody did this to Biden, I would say it's totally inappropriate. We cannot have military officers, and I love the military, you know I do, but that's not how our Constitution is set up, because we know that the military has to have a subservient role to the civilian leadership. That is what allows us as the people to rule, not the government. If this is allowed to stand, then that, in my opinion, is the moment we will be able to look back on, no matter what happens in the future, and we will say that was the end of the United States Constitution. So General Milley, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say he was a good general. Let's say he was a good man who dedicated himself to the military. Now we have to throw in a caveat there. We know that at that level of politics where he is, it's a political position. You're appointed and you're expected to serve the administration that appointed you. Now, you're also expected to act in the appropriate interest of what you do, the military. He should know and advise. He's the number one advisor as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to the President of the United States, to advise the President on things military, because the President is a civilian, not a military person. So you need to have a trusted individual in the military, high ranking, that can come to you and tell you, Mr. President, Mrs. President, whoever, here's the deal. These people are mounting an attack on us, etc., etc. Here's what I suggest we do. And then the president, the civilian leader, will make a decision based on the best advice from his highest ranking military leader. When that military leader decides to take it upon themselves to go behind the back of the President of the United States and reach out to an enemy of the United States, and you can say lots of things about the Chinese communist government. Are they a trading partner? They absolutely are. Are they a lending partner? I think they've lent us trillions and trillions of dollars, and we are indebted to them financially for probably the rest of our lives. Are they an ally? And this is where you can argue, are they an ally? Well, it has to go into context. We are not at war with the Chinese. We are at potential war with the Chinese in many places in the globe. We have signed agreements as a country to protect Taiwan if the Chinese decided to roll troops into Taiwan and take it back under their control. We have signed agreements to go there and fight with our military, our men and women, our blood and treasure, to go there and fight the Chinese off their mainland in Taiwan to protect the people of Taiwan. We've agreed to that. That's a whole nother argument of whether or not we actually will go do that when they roll in there and do it. Are we really going to do it? I don't think the Biden administration would do it. It would be a huge, huge undertaking. It would be devastating for all of us, especially for our military men and women who would be out there actually doing the fighting. It would be horrific, and it could lead to much, much worse consequences. But the bottom line is we have an agreement to do that. In that context, you could say that since the Chinese are not an ally, they are a trading partner, they're a financial partner. And while we're not at war with them, to call them an enemy as such, they are certainly not America. They are a rival, an adversary in the world that eventually we're going to have to confront, or they're going to confront us one way or the other. They're building bases all over the world. They're moving into Afghanistan now because of the blunder of pulling out of Afghanistan the way we did. We should have been out, but not the way we came out. All of this leads us to think this through. If they're not an enemy, by the wording of the statute that I read, the United States levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. When it is reported that General Milley was so concerned that Trump would launch a nuclear war at the last minute of his presidency, that he felt compelled to call his counterpart, General Li, I believe it is, over in China, and tell him, listen, we're going to let you know in advance if any attacks come. Now, if you say that the Chinese are an enemy, in the way that we know in the future, they're definitely going to be an enemy. They're building up towards that. They're not an ally, right? Would that not give them comfort to know, hey, a United States general, the chief of all the militaries in America, has said he will come and let us know before the attack comes so we can prepare and maybe respond? When you think of that context, I think we have to do a couple of givens. Number one, we have to say that the Chinese are a rival in the world, and there they could be considered, under that word, enemy, under that word enemy, and then telling them in advance you would warn them of an attack by the legitimate leadership of the United States for whatever reason that that president would come up with. Now, we can argue that the president might not come up with a good reason, but as the commander in chief, that is our system. Now, we can talk long and hard about the powers that we give to the president. So let's just say Joe Biden. Let's look at President Joe Biden. I said the same thing. If a general went behind his back and spoke to our enemies and said he would give them warning before President Biden would do anything, I would say that is treasonous, and that person is a traitor, just as well as I would say that when it happens to Trump, because that's our system. Now let's say we look at Joe Biden as he bumbles and stumbles and can't hold a sentence together, and it looks like other people are telling him what to do. And now it comes down to a decision, making a decision to launch an attack on anyone for whatever reason that the president and the government feels is, has to be done. And we all sit there and go, uh-oh, I don't know that Joe Biden is up to this. I'm really concerned that he's probably going to do something wacky. You would probably have generals and real and politicians who really know the true story about his mental capacity would say, maybe this is not a good idea. Well, at that point, you don't countermand the president's order. You convene the cabinet and you do the 25th Amendment. And you remove the president if you think he's unhinged, if you think he's incapable, if he's mentally incapable of handling such a decision. And it's not in the good nature of America, right? It's not in our best interest. You don't simply call our enemies and say, we're going to let you know before this president does anything. That is beyond shocking. This is taking all of what has happened for the last 5 years, the political collapse of our nation, and that's what we're seeing, a political collapse of our nation completely. We are so pitted against one another now. We are so going in completely different directions. We have an entire party, for the most part, and I'm talking about the political leaders, not necessarily the people sitting at home that consider themselves Democrats, but the political party as a whole is heading down the road to socialism, which we know eventually leads to communism. We see it in their words, their actual words. They're calling themselves socialists. They're saying socialist policy is better. I'm not making this stuff up. This is what they're telling us, right? And there was a great man one time named Rush Limbaugh, and he said, when the enemy tells you what they're going to do, you should listen to them, right? So if we say these people want to go towards socialism, which leads to communism, we should listen to them and believe them. We see their policies. We see their things that they're proposing are all socialist. It is very, very clear. They are moving down that road. It is no longer simply a ideological kind of a thing, or maybe a plan someday, or maybe they are actually moving towards socialism every single day. The entire media has collapsed, and we now have a completely corrupt media. There's no doubt about it. The media, they lie. They absolutely do the bidding of the Democrat Party. You would have to be only one of two things to not see that truth. Is number one, you don't want to admit it, so therefore you just deny and deny and deny, even in the face of fact. Or number two, you really have no comprehension of what's going on around you. It's as simple as that. You know, I find it funny that when people talk about Fox News, our friends on the left, when they talk about Fox News, they basically lose their minds. It's a right wing. It's a right wing operation. All they do is push conservative points of view. And they can notice that, and they want the whole world to acknowledge that. But we're not supposed to notice that they are gone to the left. You see what I'm saying? They can notice that Fox News is right wing conservatives, but we can't notice that the entire rest of the media has gone to the left, has gone socialist. It's beyond putting your head in the sand. We are in a position here where this chaos, this, I don't even know what else to call it, but when you look at it, bottom line is we are messed up. Could we even handle a conflict like this? Imagine if they do roll into Taiwan, what are we going to do? Send our Navy, send our Air Force over there to bomb who, to bomb what? Are we prepared to go into a war against the Chinese? And this is the kind of thing that you have to imagine our enemies sitting back and watching us here in America argue over the things we're arguing over, tearing ourselves apart as a people. And they have to be sitting there making plans because they know as well as I know in my heart that this is not sustainable. What we are doing to ourselves, when are we going to go back to all being on the same side? All agreeing, America, let's move forward. When are we going to do that? Do you see that happening? This is what I'm talking about. This when you look at projections to the future, it can't be through rose-colored glasses. It can't be pie in the sky kind of things. You have to look at things realistically and say, what are the facts on the ground in front of me telling me could or would happen here? What are we actually going to do? And when we look at that, we see this division in our country, this disconnection from one another that is so complete right now. It was funny. I was at a police expo the last couple of days, and it's all law enforcement officers getting together to learn about equipment and training and all that kind of stuff. And you know, they give out tchotchkes when you go to these trade shows, right? Everybody's got pens and they've got little stickers with their names on it. And it's cool stuff. Well, there's one guy, and he's giving out these really, really nice blue line flags. Now, that's the blue line flag is the law enforcement flag with the blue line right across the middle. It indicates law enforcement. All right, and then you have the fireman's flag, got the red, and you got dispatchers have yellow, and you know, everybody has a color in law enforcement. Corrections, dispatch, law enforcement, whatever. Fire departments, first aids, they all have a color flag that's got that whatever color stripe it is in there. Some of them have all of the colors on it. It's really very, very neat. It's not the American flag being used in a different way. It is a completely different flag that represents law enforcement and first responders. That's what the flag really is. But they're handing out these little stickers that I'm going to tell you, 5 years ago, you would take one of those stickers and you'd put it in the back window of your car. You would put it in the back window of your car because, first of all, you want to show your unity to your brothers and sisters in law enforcement and first responders. And, you know, it looks cool on the car. It's really not. Now, the whole thing everybody was saying is that, man, it's really cool. I want to take one of those, but I can't put it on my car. Somebody will come and smash my car. They'll cut my tires. They'll break my windows because they'll see it's a law enforcement sticker. This is another symptom of where we have fallen. And we have fallen, my friend. So when I get back to General Milley here, if the general actually did this, and there are transcripts, there is evidence out there, and we can prove that he did it, does not his actions fit the absolute definition of the law, of the statute, of the dictionary definition of traitor and treasonous behavior? It absolutely does. And what are we going to do about it? Nothing. Our friends on the left are cheering because they believe Trump was crazy. We had to do everything to overcome anything he wanted to do. And if the general went behind his back, good for the general. Not realizing the danger that is to everyone. If it makes you happy because somebody did something illegal, because it suited you, then I would say that in and of itself is traitorous to some degree, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you say? Think about it. Gives aid and comfort to the enemy. If General Milley did this, wouldn't he be an enemy of the United States? And therefore, people are cheering and applauding and trying to help him. Wouldn't you be giving aid and comfort to the general who's an enemy of America? See, hey, you can extrapolate this out and look at this. This is not good for anybody, no matter where you stand on the political spectrum. If we overcome our Constitution by saying it's okay for a rogue general to think he knows better than the Constitution and go behind the president's back and talk to our enemies and give them aid and comfort and tell them he will warn them before we strike. Now let's deal with that. Say for whatever reason, the president had intelligence that the Chinese were going to roll on Taiwan and we are obligated to protect them. Now, first of all, we have to consider that an obligation means something. So we're taking ourselves out of this current world where obligations, truth, corruption, hypocrisy, none of this matters anymore. You do whatever you can to get over. And if you're on the right side of the media, then you'll be hailed as a hero. And the other side, right, wrong, or indifferent, you'll be hailed as a horrible person, a bad person, someone who shouldn't have the connections that we have to each other. So when we look at this, we say, where are we going with all of this? Is this really going to work for us? I'm not really sure. I don't know how it can possibly sustain itself in a world where we have so many things coming at us that are, that if you had an organization and you said to yourself, first of all, half the organization is divided completely from the mission, the beliefs, and the understandings of the purpose of the organization. Half of those people in the organization, no matter what the organization is, hates the organization, hates the symbols of the organization, hates the history of the organization, and hates the other side of the organization completely, and will do anything to undermine them, take away their authority, and do what they want. Is that organization going to survive? Then you have members of that organization that go to your rivals and tell them inside information about your organization that they can use against you. Is that organization really going to survive? Of course not. Of course it's not going to survive. You would never expect such a thing. So when we look at this and we say, if the general did this, and apparently he spoke to Nancy Pelosi, and you know, there's no doubt, nobody is doing things like that on their own. They're doing it with backing. The general wanted to do this. He wanted to speak to Pelosi to make sure, hey, if it got bad, you know, you as the speaker authorized this because you too think Trump is crazy and was going to do something bad, right? So there'd be a little cover. Isn't that treasonous? The Speaker of the House agreeing to such a thing? So let's before we deal with the consequences of this, let's take a step back for a second and think about this and say, he wanted to go and do this to protect all of us. Well, that's good. So there's a mechanism. Why not use the mechanism? The reality that anybody would step outside of the Constitution thinking they're doing the right thing is not the right thing. And I don't understand that kind of thinking. So our general here gives the Chinese information. And he tells him, I'll let you know if Trump's going to do anything in advance. Meantime, Trump is trying to set up a plan where he may have information that the Chinese are going to roll on Taiwan. And he wants to do the right thing. So maybe he's preparing to take action, as we are obligated to do. Okay? Now, in the meantime, the Chinese now know that the president might do something, and they see the movement of ships and equipment and military stuff moving around the country. They see it moving on the seas, and they decide to take a preemptive strike. And that preemptive strike, maybe it takes the form of wiping out Taiwan. Maybe it takes the form of attacking some of our ships at sea. Maybe it takes the form of launching a nuclear attack on us, on our homeland, or on one of our allies, or some of our resources, or some of our things around the world. And we were not prepared for that to happen because we didn't think that anybody knew what we were doing. But really, the general told them in advance. So therefore, you put them on guard, and they're watching. He calls them up and says, hey, listen, Trump's thinking of doing something with Taiwan, and I don't want it to lead to a bigger war. What do you think the Chinese are going to say? Oh, thank you, General. We don't want it to lead to war either. We'll back our troops all off of here. We'll move everything out of the way so the United States can roll in. Is that the goal of the Chinese, or is the goal of the Chinese to take over Taiwan? They might see that as, this is the moment before the Americans get in place. We better roll now because they're a lot closer. And any ships heading towards them, maybe they attack them. Maybe now we're at all-out war, but we're at a disadvantage because someone on our side did something to help the enemy, gave them aid and comfort in attacking us. This is the danger that we face here. This is the, I don't even know what to call it. I'm in shock that this would happen. But it is really, I think it's the biggest symptom of the destruction of our country and where we are. So I'm asking, how do we pull this back together? Let's go to our next election. Okay, we're going to our next election. And whoever runs on the Republican conservative side is going to immediately go out and say, hey, listen, we have to undo all of this socialism, all this crazy liberalism, all of this, we got to get back to traditional America. Are our friends on the left going to cheer that? Yeah, let's get back to the way things were. Let's be pro-American. Let's all work together. No, they're not. Because, and again, I'm not talking about the people at home who consider themselves Democrats, historically Democratic people. I'm talking about the people in political power. They are now socialists. They will see this as a moment to attack. The entire media will back them up. They are going to go, whoever the nominee is, they are going to go after this nominee in a way that we have not even seen against Trump. And if it is Trump, the minute he indicates that he's actually going to run again, you're going to see it's going to start all over again. You're going to see criminal cases coming up against the Trump organization. You're going to see corrupt prosecutors coming after them. You're going to see government agencies going after him. You're going to see every federal agency that the Democrats can control go after whoever the nominee is. Whoever the nominee is, they're going to do it. The fact that we can all sit back and watch the difference in behaviors of our federal law enforcement, depending on who the subject is of an investigation, the fact that we can all sit back and see the difference and nobody gets upset, the fact that we know the FBI conducted illegal wiretaps of the Trump administration and campaign, and yet there's no outcry, there's applaud. Well, that's good because he's crazy, so we had to do what we had to do. Again, isn't that exactly the same as they're saying about General Milley? Sure, it's unconstitutional. Sure, it's treasonous. But he had to do it because Trump is crazy and dangerous. In the meantime, there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever of their worst fears, that Trump was going to start a nuclear war, that he was going to remain. Remember the whole thing? He wasn't going to leave the White House. He was going to barricade the White House, and they were going to make him come get him with troops. Pelosi even said, we can send a military in there to get him out. All of this stuff they made up. This was all made up. When the guy lost and he couldn't stay, he left. He didn't start a nuclear war. But what were the consequences of him being around? We had a better economy. Absolutely. We had a stronger military. We did. People around the world didn't like us, but they listened to us, right? So what's the old saying? Better to be feared than loved, right? When people love you, they feel like they could take advantage of you. When they fear you, they're afraid, right? So maybe that wasn't such a bad thing, that the rest of the world backed off of America for a change, who we always do the right thing, right? We always help the world do the right thing. So this is kind of where I was thinking today. This is what I'm looking at. I had to look up these words. I had to understand this. I had to make sure we were crystal clear on this, because this is not something to play with, my friends. This is a symptom of this entire corruption of America. And going back, how do we heal and go back? How are sides ever going to come together? What do you reach across the aisle about? Look at the big issues of our day, and how are we going to reconcile ourselves with the other side? The other side wants very high taxes and a lot of regulation, shutting down pipelines, shutting down our oil independence. And we want oil independence. We want to have those pipelines to move stuff around, because that's the energy is what we need for our country to run, for our economy. We want that on our side. They don't want it on their side. We want low taxes and government out of our lives. They want government to run everything about our lives. Where's the middle ground on there? Okay, out of 10 things, government runs 6 of them, and the other 4 we get to run. Is that the compromise we're going to get? Right? How about abortion? Where do we compromise there? One side says it's a woman's right to kill the baby if she wants to do that, and the other side says, what about the baby? Right? We understand a woman has rights, and it's her body, of course, but what about the baby? Can we answer? Are we ever going to have that conversation? Where do we meet in the middle there? How do we have that conversation where one side that says it's not a baby, it's a lump of cells, so that they feel comfortable killing it, are going to say, well, it is a baby, but we want to kill it anyway? Who's going to say that? Nobody. And who on the right's going to say, okay, some abortions are okay. You know, you can have abortions, you know, for any reason, up until the 8th month, but certainly not the 9th month, and not when they're born. Is that the compromise? Is that the compromise we go for? Do we destroy ourselves by teaching history in a way that has children hating each other and continuing the divisiveness, instead of saying, hey, you know what? Our country had some problems when we started, but we overcame them. Isn't that the idea of what America is? Yes, there was slavery. That was horrible. It was an abomination on humanity that happened. But didn't we get rid of it? We did. Aren't we trying to move forward? Yes. Do we still have more to do? Of course we do. There's always more to do. But we get things done when we do it together as opposed to doing it separately. All right, so that's my point. Where are we going with this? And I want you to think about that. We'll be back in a minute with more Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends here on Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. You know, we're working our way through the trials and travails of what's going on in our country today, and we're trying to figure all of this out. It's not easy. It's really not easy at all. I mean, I have a family who are young people, and I have grandchildren, and I'm thinking about the future for them. You know, I've lived in an America where I had opportunity. I had to make something out of it, and I did. And I know not everyone can. I understand that. I know that's difficult. But the reality is, there was nobody to help me. I had to do my thing. I had to do the best I could, right? So it can be done. But when I look out there, I'm saying to myself, how else do we find a way to heal this? What exactly is going to be the healing moment? Where's it going to come from? You know, are these young people going to get together? Now, I think it's funny that we see young people at these football stadiums all over the place chanting, you know, F Joe Biden, F Joe Biden. That's kind of funny. You wouldn't think, you know, young people normally are very, very liberal. And we know that, you know, for the most part, they are. But it's just interesting to hear them, you know, F Joe Biden. So when I looked at that, I said, are they saying F Joe Biden because of his socialism? Or are they saying F Joe Biden because of his mandates that just came out? The mandate. Think about that mandate. Now, when we talk about the vaccine, this is another symptom. This is another symptom of where we are as a country, the vaccine. You know, recently I posted on social media, and I was kind of doing it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I was kind of serious because, you know, I told you, we're going through the battle here. My kid's going to college. They got to get vaccinated, not vaccinated. Is it dangerous? It can be dangerous. People have died, have had serious injuries. The problem is, because we're not allowed to talk about it, because you get shut down when you talk about it as though it's not real, when people know it is real, because that happens, that makes people suspicious. So instead of just coming out and saying, okay, listen, yes, there's a chance that you could be paralyzed. Yes, there's a chance you could die from this vaccine. But the chances are small compared to getting COVID and dying from the effects of COVID or whatever else that's going to happen. You know, let's have an honest discussion about it. But because we don't have that honest discussion, because anyone who brings that up gets permanently banned off of social media, gets shut down, gets truth stickers all over their things, is shunned in public, is embarrassed, is gone after by the media and the governmental agencies that are telling you, get the shot. Well, the reality is, because you do that, that's what makes people nervous about it. You know, I work in an industry where we're starting to see a lot of companies cave in and give in and say, listen, before anybody comes in our building, you have to be vaccinated. You know, you have to be vaccinated because the government says they're going to fine us if we don't make you vaccinated. Well, that is problematic. Think about that. What's the next thing they're going to make you do? And the argument that, well, you had to get the polio vaccine, you had to get the... Yeah, those vaccines were tested for many, many years. There were still some side effects for some people, but it was very, very small. What are the side effects for these COVID vaccines? Do you know? Do you have any idea? Ask Dr. McCullough. He's here on America Out Loud. Go listen to his show. Dr. McCullough is a genius and a medical wonder man, and he can give you the real numbers. Now, why not give us the real numbers, and then we can make a decision. An honest decision, instead of just take it, take it, take it. You better get it. You better get it. You're going to get fined. You're going to get thrown out. We're going to shun you. We hate you. Who was it? Comedian Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel came out the other day and he said, "Hey, people who are not vaccinated shouldn't be allowed to go in a hospital. It's too bad for you if you have a heart attack. You can't come in." Is that bringing us together or is that dividing us? Talk like that. Belief like that. What's the next thing that we can believe? How about when the conservatives are in power and there's things they believe and can force on you? Oh, are we going to argue about that? Or we can say, nope, government said, you have to do it, so you better do it. Now, here's the difference. I think our friends on the left will stand up and fight. They'll burn, they'll loot, they'll rob, they'll blow things up. They will do those kind of violent actions. They do them. People on the right, they're timid, they back down, they're afraid. And you know what? There's good things to be afraid for. You could lose your job. You could lose your house. You could lose your business. You could be attacked. They come after you. You get shunned. All those things actually do happen in our country. You know? Let's look at who's looking out for us. Who's looking out for us? Our politicians, right? We vote for these people because they're representing us. We have a representative republic, don't we, right? Do they really represent us? Do people on the right really feel represented? You get somebody like Ted Cruz who comes out and really, you know, strongly goes after these people when they're testifying in court. You still don't get an answer. You don't get an actual answer from the person. But man, Ted really went after them. And he did. I think Ted Cruz is a good guy. I think he would do the right thing if he was a president, if he had more power. But his power is limited. He's limited. He can ask questions. He could take a stern tone, but he can't really do anything, right? None of the Republicans do anything. They don't have the power in the Senate. They don't have the power in the House. They don't have the presidency. They can't really do anything, and they don't stand up. They don't fight. When our friends on the left were out of power, did they sit down timidly and say, "Well, we lost the election. We'll have to try harder next time to convince people"? No. They went out, they were on the news sayings together, they got together, they made their statements every single day. It was relentless, everywhere. You know, when we look at who's going to take care of us, we see this Dr. Nasser, right? This physician who was treating the girls on the Olympic team and these young sports athletes. And it turns out that he was sexually molesting them. I can't think of hardly anything that is worse than thinking of your doctor doing that to your child, right? A doctor has a special place in our society, right? First, do no harm. Isn't that the oath that they take, the Hippocratic Oath? First, do no harm. Now, I don't know that they take that oath anymore because, you know, oaths are bad. It kind of limits you to what you can do, and who's to make up rules anyway, right? So let's get rid of that. But that was the part of it. It was first, do no harm. Well, if you're molesting a child, you're doing harm. That is shocking to our senses that our doctors would do that. It's shocking when our religious people do that, when our clergy people do that. Isn't that devastating when you find out that, you know, a local priest or an imam or somebody in your community that you trust and you love to be your spiritual leader, and they did something inappropriate with somebody? It is devastating to the entire situation. How about our law enforcement people? You know, I heard this young lady coming out and talking about She was been molested, and she reported this to the FBI 2 years ago. She reported this to them, and nothing has been done about it. Why? Her statement, I thought, was so powerful. If the FBI is not going to protect me, who is? Isn't that true for all of us? When I run down the line here, and I know it sounds pessimistic, and I'm not pessimistic, I'm an optimist. It sounds pessimistic because I'm looking at things clearly for what they are, trying to figure out a way to change them. Right? When we look at our FBI under Director Wray, is that an agency that we can all look at and be proud of what's happened in the last 4 or 5 years? Can we be proud of their actions? How about if these mistakes were made, illegalities were done, and then the leader of that organization said, you know what? This is too important to the people of America. The FBI has to be rock solid, excellent, all the way through, at all times. It has to support every American. We're all under the same system of law, and I am going to fix this place. And then get rid of the corrupt, liars, cheaters, all the people who did the illegal things. Wouldn't that be the right thing to do? To show you've cleaned house. Has he done that? Has the FBI not engaged in things like spying on a campaign? That if half of us cheer that because it's against the campaign we don't like, that corruption gives us no thought that it's a good, solid thing. It feels bad. It feels bad. It feels uncomfortable. So I heard this young lady come out and say that the other day, this girl who was victimized by this Dr. Nasser, and say, if they're not going to protect me, who is? Well, that's the point. But who does get protection? Right? We know that this young lady reported this 2 years ago. And I was trying to think who I was listening to. Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly. Right? Like Bill, like him or not, he's a smart guy, and I like his point of view on things. He comes out and he says, they knew this for 2 years, and they sat on it, and they did nothing. So other girls were victimized by this guy. Why did they? If you or I had a report like that, they would swoop down on you in 2 seconds, and if there was any evidence whatsoever, your local police or the FBI would take you away. And that's the right thing to do, right? That's how we enforce the laws. We don't let people predate on other people and hurt them. Take a look at the Hunter Biden case. Now, I don't know Hunter Biden. I see the pictures of him with crack pipes, and I see all the stories about him, and you can see that this guy seems to be a bit of a mess. He seemed to have a drug addiction. He was involved in a lot of things that were unsavory. You know, a lot of people's lives fall apart. That happens. But here is this laptop, this Hunter Biden laptop that we keep talking about. That first of all, when it came out, I think Rudy Giuliani got a hold of it first. And he put it out that he has this laptop and it's got all this stuff on it. And the computer store guy, actually made a copy of the hard drive. Because I guess he realized this is important stuff here and you never know how this is going to go. So he made a copy of the hard drive, and I think that's the one Rudy got. I could be wrong there, but I know Rudy ended up with a copy of the hard drive. And when he describes the things that are on there that involve this Hunter Biden. Things about money moving around, about paying his father, about being inappropriate with underage girls, using drugs, walking around naked, going on Facebooks or whatever the heck he went on with the, you know, texting with these girls. And when you realize that if any one of those things you did, they would sweep into your house with a search warrant, take every electronic device out of you and lock you up so fast, your head would not be able to spin. That's how fast it would happen. The FBI had this laptop for 2 years and did nothing. Now, they always say, now, you got to understand, as an investigator myself, the FBI and all federal agencies normally have this very, very long time span of investigations. They get an investigation today, and they will investigate for 3 years, very slowly, methodically. Your local police investigate much quicker. They get evidence, they look at something, they make an arrest, and then they build their case. If they need to continue, they build their case after that as well. The federal agencies take a long time, the FBI particularly, when they do corruption and stuff like that. It's a very, very lengthy process. It doesn't have to be that lengthy, but that's how they do their work. Apparently, premier law enforcement agency, they want to get everything right. They want to make sure they got a rock solid case before they go ahead. And that's good. Time is of the essence, though. Why did they sit on this laptop for 2 years? Do you think they would have sat on this laptop for 2 years if it was Donald Trump Jr.? Do you believe in any way, shape, or form in your mind that if they had a laptop of Donald Trump Jr. using drugs, cavorting around in front of young children, naked, saying all kinds of things that are totally inappropriate, whatever it is that's on here. I don't know what's on this laptop. This is what I'm told is on this laptop. If any of that is true, then this should be acted on immediately. Is it acted on as of yet? No, it's not. Nothing's been acted on. Now, I don't know whether this Hunter Biden guy did any of that stuff. I don't. It's been reported, and I've seen pictures. They've shown me pictures of him sleeping with a crack pipe in his mouth or a purported crack pipe in his mouth. You know, they send out these little different... How come we don't know about this? What's going on with this? Why does Rudy Giuliani know? And apparently Rudy then took it to the Delaware State Police, showed them pictures off the laptop. Here, look at this. This is what's being said. And nothing was done. Why is that? Why is that? Why is that nothing's been done? Right? That's the state police. They could have moved on it, but they didn't. Political corruption. Political corruption. It's scary to think in this day and age that there are so many elements of what we would able to take for granted as being rock solid that no longer are. You know, you can't count on the newspapers to report anything, honestly. They won't. They're going to report biasly. Who was it recently? Somebody, and again, I don't sit around with a paper and pencil taking notes. I listen to stuff. I listen to different programs. I read as much as I can to get up to speed on things. I believe the woman was with the CDC. And I could be wrong. She was with a medical situation. And she basically said in her messaging, and I heard the tape, it was a recorded tape, somebody recorded her speaking, that when it comes to COVID, they want everyone to think they're going to die if they don't get this vaccine. Now, is that true? If you don't get the vaccine, will you die? What's the actual statistic? 99.97% recovery if you get COVID without a vaccine? Right? So, why would she want everyone to think they're going to die? Because she wants to manipulate how people feel so they take an action that she wants them to take. Now, maybe there are people who genuinely believe that the vaccine is the way to go. Okay, that's fair enough. Give us the statistics, right? Tell us the truth. Look at the laptop. Make charges if charges should be made. Clean house. Get rid of people who did things wrong. So this is the kind of thing that I'm looking at. And so I'm not being pessimistic. Don't take it that way. Don't take it that way at all. I'm not being pessimistic. I'm looking at things clearly and trying to put into perspective how each one of these are going to go. So how do we clean up the FBI? How do we clean up the FBI? Okay, you put Lieutenant Joe in charge of the FBI. You put me in charge, and on day one, I call everybody in that agency together, and I say, here is the deal. There's a new sheriff in town. If you were involved in anything inappropriate, as a law enforcement officer, because you're doing something political, you're doing something to hide somebody, if you're doing some other thing, that ends immediately. I would look at all of these files and I would start releasing information. I'd say, I don't care where the investigation is. If there's enough information in any of these investigations to make an arrest, you go make the arrest right now. I don't care if it speeds up the investigation. I don't care if it tips people off to it. Start making the arrests now. And we'll keep building our case. Because once you arrest people, they have a tendency to talk, don't they? So if you're not arresting anybody, and they're not talking about Hunter Biden and what he's done, but then you go lock up a few people, they're going to start talking, right? These people who did the wiretaps inappropriately. You go start locking them up, and they're going to start talking. That's how it works. They talk, then you go do more investigating. Okay, so that's what I would do day one. And anybody that was involved in any of that, I would fire them. I don't care their position, their rank, who they were. I would fire them. You're gone immediately. And if they deserve charges, they would get charges. Okay? That's how I would clear that up. If I could run a news organization, right? Lieutenant Joe, you're now in charge of Joe's News. You got TV stations, and you have newspapers, and you have websites, and you have all that kind of stuff. What I would say is, okay, I call all my reporters together, and I say, here's the deal. We get a story about something. We are going to look at both sides of that story. We're going to give both sides equal shrift, and you're going to report what both sides say. Then you're going to actually look into what the people said, and you're going to investigate, and then you're going to tell us if there was any truth to it. Okay, wouldn't that be great? And then we'll put out those stories however they fall. Facts, not opinion. Here's something I would love to do for our political class. I would love to do this. You know how they work for us, right? We vote for them, they work for us, right? Do you ever see a politician gets themselves in a situation where they don't want to answer a question and they go round and round and round and they answer in circles and they never quite get to it? And depending on the reporter, if the poor reporter's favorable to them, they'll back off, they ask softball questions. Here's what I would do there. I would have a new law for politicians. And the law would be, every 2 weeks at a minimum, you will hold a press conference where you will answer questions completely and thoroughly. None of this, I don't know, dancing around, absolutely not. There'll be an arbitrator in the room that will stop the conversation and say, that's not what you were asked. You were asked this. Answer that question. Right? I would allow yes and no questions. When did you know? Specifically, give me an answer. And if you lie in those press conferences, that would be a lie against the American people, and I would find some way to say, okay, that's removable from office, or we could charge you with lying to the people or doing something. Wouldn't that be refreshing to make them have to sit there and actually answer the question and not be able to dance around? I think that would be helpful. You know, what's the bottom line with all of these things I'm suggesting? What is the thread that runs through all of these things that I'm suggesting? These things I have in my head to do with, right? If I could do all these things. Honesty, truthfulness, and doing what you're supposed to do. I would also, without a split second of delay, I would say there has to absolutely be term limits for Congress. You know, we look at our founding fathers, and they had a lot of good thoughts about human nature, and they knew how people would be. And I would say you could be a senator, you could be a United States senator for one term. You can be a congressman for three terms. That's 6 years each. And then you're out. Somebody else is coming in. Our president is limited to 2 terms, 8 years, right? Our president is limited to 8 years. So why do we allow these other politicians to run amok like they do? And they have created most of these problems. Both sides of the aisle. Both sides of the aisle. The corruption knows no specific area. They're all involved in this to make their lives better. Now, there's some people that are good and some are bad on both sides, both parties. You know, both parties, there are some good, decent people, no doubt about it. But I guess it has to be a very powerful pull when you get to that office. And from what I'm told, the first thing they tell you is, hey, listen, welcome aboard, new congressman. Here's the deal. You vote with us, you vote the way we tell you to vote, and we're going to make sure you have plenty of money for your reelection so you can have your nice office here, your nice life in Washington. You can meet a lot of these lobbyists. They're going to want you to do things. You're going to get rich. You're going to have a ton of money. It's going to be a great life. If you go against us, we're going to shut you down, step away from you, and you have to go back to the world. We have to work like the rest of the schlubs out there, right? Why would you stay in something like that for so? And again, how does somebody go from making $175,000 a year for 20 years, right? Add that up. 10 years would be $1.75 million, right? 20 years would be what, $3.5 million? And they end up with a $40 million bank account. How does that happen? Nobody questions it. Trump was questioning it. And we want to see Trump's tax returns. We want to see all his where his money is because we know he's a liar. We want to see. How come we don't demand to see these politicians? If you're a politician, we get to see your tax returns. We get to see where your money is. This way, we can follow the money to see where you're getting your bed feathered, so that you make certain answers or certain rules or regulations to favor those people who are paying you. Wouldn't that go back to honesty and decency? Now, I know all of these things are a pipe dream. This is not going to happen. It's not human nature. because the people that have to vote for it are the ones benefiting. And you know what? I blame us. I blame us, the people. We are sometimes so stupid, it's amazing. We see things for what they are, but our guy or our girl is good. No, there should be a turnout election where every single one of them is turned out. Vote for the same party, but vote for another candidate. You know, there should be have to run against somebody, even in the primary, get primary everybody, and pick the other person. Clean them all out. I think that would be a good start. Even the good ones, you know, because the other good ones will come in. Look at our friends in California. The state of California is in a shambles because of the political policies that are going on there. And our friends in California have a chance to get rid of the guy who's doing all of this and vote for another guy who looks like he's probably going to do the right thing to try and make the state strong again, healthy again, open to business, open to people, right? Not so regulated, not such a Soviet kind of a state. And they vote almost 70% in favor of keeping what they got. Homeless all over the place, drug addicts, people defecating in the street. What kind of thinking is that? Our guy, man, you believe that's better than taking care of those homeless people, getting them off the street, right? Cleaning up your street so people can live in a community decently. Lower the taxes so the business will come to you and there'll be more jobs for everybody. People can have a better life. I don't know. Friends, we've been round and around and around here. And I want to tell you, the last thing I'm going to tell you is, and this is important. You know, I tell you about Healthy Cell all the time, the immune boost. I've been taking it a long time. I feel really good. Well, I had the other one that's supposed to help you sleep, right? If you have insomnia or something, I never took it because I never had the problem. I sleep pretty good. A friend of mine was telling me how he hasn't been able to sleep, and I got some for him, and I gave it to him. He's been taking it for like 2 weeks. He's telling me, dude, I'm sleeping through the night, and if I do wake up, I could go right back to sleep. It's been months since I could sleep, so Healthy Cell, take a look. Listen, this is Lieutenant Joe. I'm going to see you down the road. Be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Think about what we talked about today.